to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What's up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 56 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. How is everyone? We had some cars on the track this weekend. How awesome was that? Happy Fat Tuesday, everybody, and happy Poonchki Day. That's right. If you're not familiar with a Poonchki, it's not just a donut. It's 1,000 calories stuffed with goodness. I may have had one or two, not going to lie. Custard, apple, number one and two on my list. I actually was talking with some people last night on Twitter about the correct pronunciation of Poonchki, which is spelled P-A-C-Z-K-I, but somehow we get Poonchki. But anyways, I digress. Hope everyone had a great weekend. It was awesome for me. Loved watching some cars out there on the track with qualifying and the clash. I have a huge show lined up for you guys today. Obviously going to talk the clash, qualifying, and get you set for the duels and the big dance, the Daytona 500 on Sunday. I've got two awesome interviews lined up for you guys tonight from Fox. You've seen him on Pit Road, Mr. Hermie Sadler, and Mr. Rick Brenner, who's no stranger to the Left Traffic Podcast from MIS, is going to talk about the 50th anniversary this year of MIS. A little later on, our weather guy Aaron's going to call, tell us what we can expect for this weekend with the weather. And the Wave Around hotline opens tonight. I will take your calls for your lucky dog and lapped down picks. How awesome is that? And on a random note, I got to give a huge shout out to Podbean, which is the hosting site for the podcast. Podbean has put the lap traffic on their banner on the app. So if you click on the Podbean app, boom, lap traffic right there for everybody to see, which is incredible. It's going to help spread word about the podcast, which is fantastic. And thank you to everyone out there that has spread word about the show on social media. It really means a lot to me. All right, let's get this show rolling. Can't do it first, though, without giving some props to DraftKings. NASCAR fans, start your engines. This Sunday, race day is back with the Great American Race when it returns to Daytona. And to celebrate, DraftKings is hosting a $10,000 NASCAR contest that is totally free to enter. Just go to DraftKings.com before the race begins. Pick your contest, draft your team of six drivers, and follow the action live. Rack up points for fast laps, laps led, finishing position, and more. Outscore the competition and take the checkered flag. When you're in the race with DraftKings, every turn, every pit stop, every time someone drops the hammer, you'll feel like you're riding shotgun. Start your chase towards victory lane at DraftKings.com. The race inside the race. You guys know I'll have a lineup or two this weekend for DraftKings. I'll tweet those out and make some picks for you guys to see what I'm thinking. And don't forget, DraftKings gave me to give to you, Lap Traffic Nation, your own promo code. Use promo code LAPPED, L-A-P-P-E-D, at DraftKings.com now to play for free in the NASCAR contest with $10,000 in prizes. That's promo code LAPPED to compete for your share of $10,000 in total prizes. The contest is totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you try this? That's promo code LAPPED to play for free this Sunday only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions apply. See site for details. Let me know if you got any questions. Big thanks to DraftKings for coming on these last 2 weeks and sponsoring the show. That's so awesome. All right, I'm not going to make you guys wait any longer. Let's get to the first interview of the night with the Michigan International Speedway track president, Rick Brenner. Michigan International Speedway is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. I am so excited to get out to my home track this season. Right now, joining me on the line, he's no stranger to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Michigan International Speedway track president, Rick Brenner. Rick, welcome back and congratulations on the golden milestone at MIS.
Oh, thank you so much. It's going to be a fantastic year. I know it's the snow on the ground right now, and Valentine's Day in our mind. It's probably not top of mind, but with Valentine's Day comes the Daytona 500 this weekend as well. So racing season's upon us, and we've got an awesome year here planned for folks here in Michigan.
That's awesome, Rick. So your first year at the tracks under the belt. How excited are you for year two and the 50th anniversary at MIS?
Well, you know, the second year is always a lot easier. It's nice to know what to expect. It's been a great year working side by side with this great team here and continuing to challenge ourselves to make it for a better event every time we can. No matter how well we do, we want to make it a little bit better for our fans every time. And the 50th anniversary is a great opportunity to celebrate that. We've got a lot of great stuff going on. If you check out our website, we're releasing videos here celebrating the decades and the eras that we're here. We're going to be talking about celebrating some of the old IndyCar stuff that happened here, as well as a lot of the stock car and NASCAR racing that's been here, and really embracing the fact that we are, you know, just outside of Detroit, and the rich heritage of the automobile in our state, as well as here at our track. And we've had a lot of help from our friends over at Penske. They've been just very gracious. As you know, Penske owned the track here at one point.
Yep.
And we've reached out to a lot of industry partners and the manufacturers, and fans are really going to be treated to a second to none display of racing memorabilia here throughout both weekends this year, and just a lot of great stuff going on to celebrate all the rich history of the car racing and Michigan.
That's awesome. All right, so Rick, I'm sure we'll talk before June and August, and we can get into the actual race weekend stuff then. You mentioned some of the stuff that MIS has planned for the fans to partake in to celebrate 50 years. You mentioned the website videos. Can you tell the listeners a little bit? You guys are going to have some car and memorabilia display. Something special going on with the pace car, too, if I read correctly.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff going on, and we're going to be piecing out the details here little by little. But yeah, the pace car, we're asking people to send in pictures, and we're going to be putting your pictures up on the pace car and celebrating our 50th in that manner. So that's going to be a real exciting opportunity for people when they come out. And of course, we're, you know, layering in all of our amazing entertainment that we started last year, and we've got 38 special lined up for June, and the Cadillac 3. In August. So we've got a whole bunch of great entertainment, and then all the 50th stuff just drops right on top of it.
That's awesome. And some car stuff's going to be at the new Holland Fan Plaza too, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a whole, our partner Consumers Energy, we're going to help us present a really large and unique display of racing history. There'll be cars, there'll be other memorabilia on display as well, and those details are coming soon, but I promise you, everything I'm hearing, it's going to be second to none, and you're really going to want to be here and experience it.
I can't wait. So on top of the 50th anniversary celebration with MIS, you guys, by the time race weekend rolls along in June, are going to have some pretty cool enhancements done to the track with some new campsites, some all-you-can-eat packages and stuff like that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we've created what's going to be called the Turn 1 Resort over here in Turn 1. It includes your all-you-can-eat ticket in our new all-you-can-eat section here at the track, and includes your general admission tickets for Friday and Saturday. You get driver intro, pit and paddock passes. You have infield access. You get electric and water at your site. You've got your own private game room and lounge and an outdoor game area as well. Fire pits, and you're right, and you know, as important as it is on race weekend, there's actually going to be permanent bathrooms there, too, that'll be yours.
Nice.
So you've got a really nice opportunity. You're right in Turn 1. And right next to it, we've also created a section of all-you-can-eat seats that have their own. You have your own countertop, and then you have all-you-can-eat for 2 hours, kind of a picnic-style menu, burgers, dogs, that kind of thing on race day on the Sunday. And we figure those folks that are there camping probably want to sit in that all-you-can-eat seat so they can put all their stuff away before the race, and we'll take care of their meal for them, and they don't have to worry about packing up their kitchens or a hot grill or anything like that. So it's a really, really nice opportunity. It's combined kind of right next to the all-you-can-eat seats. The all-you-can-eat seats are available for groups of 10, starting at $75, and for individuals, starting at $85. And just a really nice new amenity. Just imagine sitting right in Turn 1. You're looking right down the front stretch. You can see all the pit boxes, and you've got you know, your own countertop and all you can eat food for 2 hours. It's a great, great opportunity at $85.
I can feel the 80-degree weather already.
This could be awesome.
Can't wait. That's awesome. I'm going to have to
absolutely
make sure I get over there and check that out. I'm excited to see that. Game room, permanent restrooms, electric water, all right up close to the track. We're not talking, you know, you don't have to cross US 12 to get there. It's going to be all right there on the grounds. That's incredible.
Oh, yeah. You're going to, if you don't set your alarm, I'm pretty sure the action on the track will wake you up. So you'll be ready to go.
All right. So I'm assuming, just like last year, you guys do some awesome ticket packages and prices and all that kind of good stuff. Tickets are on sale. What's going on ticket wise for the anniversary special?
Yeah, sure. Tickets start at $35. Camping starts at $160. You can purchase those tickets at mispeedway.com, or we've got a talented group of folks right here in Michigan at the track waiting to talk to you if you call 888-905-7223. We'll be rolling out a whole bunch of different stuff. Our free food packets will be back this year. We're working on some other packages with the drivers that include the meet and greets and whatnot, and that stuff will all get launched shortly after the on-sale date. But for now, great value in that $35 starting price, and really look forward to having people come out to what it's hard to describe this place. Is it NASCAR's fastest track? Is it NASCAR's most entertaining track? Is it we're all green here too, so it's NASCAR's greenest track. But either way, the beautiful Irish Hills, ton of great entertainment lined up for the weeks, and looking forward to having folks back out and enjoying the races.
And kids are free on Friday, Saturday too, right?
Kids are still free on Friday, Saturday, and half price on Sunday.
It's awesome. Awesome. So you guys got a packed weekend, June 8th, 9th, and 10th with ARCA, the Xfinity, and of course the Cup guys on Sunday. And then August 10th, 11th, and 12th, you got the Truck Series and the Cup guys there too. Rick, yep. So I saw the special logo that MIS is using for the 50th anniversary, and I was going through some old stuff, and I actually found, it's probably about 5 by 3 inches. It's like a nickel pewter kind of thing. And it is number 1 of 250 of the MIS logo from the 25th anniversary of the track that I have. And I'm actually going to send that out to you and Brad just to show my appreciation to you guys for what you've done for the track. I've had this thing since I was a little kid. And I'm going to send that out to you guys for just to show my gratitude and to add to the display of everything that you guys have at MIS.
Well, I think that's awesome. We'll put it out there, and certainly maybe we can find a way later in the summer to package it up with some stuff here from MIS and give it away to one of your listeners.
That would be incredible. That would be awesome. All right, everyone, make sure you follow MIS on social media at MI Speedway. Get on Twitter so you guys can see all of the latest releases and all the news and events for MIS. Come out and see the racing. I'll be out there both weekends. Rick, you come to the meet and greets on Sundays, which is awesome. Everyone, get your tickets to the fastest speedway on the circuit at MISpeedway.com. I'm also going to put a link on my website as well for that. Rick, it was a pleasure as always, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon in June.
Absolutely. Looking forward to talking to you. Thanks for having me on. Enjoy the race Sunday.
Thanks, man. You too.
All right.
See ya. Oh, always good to talk to Rick and the guys over at MIS. Cannot wait for June and to get back out there. It's going to be so much fun. Come see me if you're going to be at MIS this June. All right. Let's keep this show rolling. What do you guys say? All right. We had some action on the track this weekend. First up Sunday, we had some qualifying to set the front row of the 500. Time trials were ran just for the front row. So any casual listeners out there that might be a little confused on the time trials that were run on Sunday and all this talk about the duels and what those mean. So the fastest two laps, basically, in the second round of qualifying, set the front row of the 500. So even if you finish third or fourth in the second round of qualifying, that doesn't mean anything. You could start 20th for the 500 because the rest of the field is going to be set based on your result in the duels on Thursday. So it's definitely a very unique qualifying system for the Daytona 500. Bowman put down two incredible laps in both rounds of qualifying. His second round speed of 195.644 was over a half second faster than second place and second starter for the 500, Denny Hamlin. Those two will start up front on Sunday. The rest of the field, like I said, will be set with the duels Thursday night. The cool thing to keep in mind is even if your driver's time trial was bad on Sunday, it really doesn't matter. Joey Logano was 11th after the second round of qualifying. He could end up starting third for all we know. So duels are very important. And hey, it's extra racing that we get to watch on a Thursday night, which is incredible. I'm looking forward to that. I'm not going to be sitting in a classroom ignoring a lecture and watching it on my computer. I will be available to watch the duels on TV for the first time in a few years on a Thursday night, which I'm very excited for. All right. Well, the Clash, the feature on Sunday. Big congrats to Bad Brad for getting the win at the Clash. All right, so I gotta give a little mini rant here. You know, my biggest issue with plate racing is I don't mind the packs. I don't mind the drafts. For me, it really just comes down to how many cars end up getting tore up and potentially ruining someone's day when, you know, they're just minding their own business racing and getting blindsided. You know, to some, that's racing. I get that. But for me, that's the one part of plate racing that I would say really does kind of suck. You know, the excitement's all there. I get it. But I really hate to see cars get tore up when there isn't a need, so to speak. You know, if it happens, you know, because someone cuts a tire, you know, at a track like, I don't know, Phoenix, whatever it is, you know, you might catch one or two cars, something like that. But to collect 20 or 30 cars with something like that really is unfortunate. But hey, that's Daytona, that's Talladega. And we got cars, we got the 500 this weekend. So it kind of, you know, that excitement kind of, you know, puts the cars getting tore up maybe on the back burner a little bit there. Now, that said, there was some exciting racing on Sunday. I got to admit, Elliott sliding around out there to get the lead early on was pretty sweet. He looked good early in the race. You know, part of the problem with the Clash is, you know, the field's half the size. It's really, really easy to lose the draft. You know, and it can be hard to catch a break and get back up there if there aren't cautions, which is kind of what we saw happen in stage one with Kasey Kahne. We saw that at the end of the race with Harvick. He lost the pack, and there just really isn't much you can do when you're not up there racing with everyone. You know, some of the guys were mentioning it on the broadcast. You could definitely tell the cars were a handful. You could see anytime they really showed the in-car camera of the driver, their hands were full, were not able to hold straight very much at all, you know, which you get more cars in that pack, you're going to get looser. We could definitely see some big ones, plural, on Sunday, which, you know, it is what it is, I guess. You know, I got to be honest. I'm curious your guys' take on the penalty for the 17. You know, NASCAR came and said he moved position below the yellow line. In my opinion, Kyle moved him down. You know, there was a lot of response on Twitter to this. I saw a lot of tweets with people saying if he would have held position, he would have wrecked Kyle, which is probably true. There's also the theory of, you know, he could have checked up a little bit, but there were cars right behind him as well. So that could have caused a wreck. My issue is because what's going to happen on Sunday when someone uses the Clash and what happened with the 17 as an excuse to hold line? Hopefully NASCAR clarifies this in the drivers' meeting on Sunday and makes it very clear to how they're going to do that. You know, maybe they might admit they were wrong. Who knows? But that definitely was an unfortunate situation there for the 17 to have to get penalized there when he was definitely moved down the track. You know, for me, if there's not a full car widths, you know, measurement there, which I don't think there was. I think the way Kaya was moving, I don't think Stenhouse's car would have still fit. You know, I would think that's what NASCAR would be using from a visual perspective there in determining whether or not there was a penalty. You know, I was disappointed, especially during the stage break there after lap 25. that we didn't get to see the pit times. You know, we got big changes with pit road in terms of one less guy over the wall, the standardized pit guns, and they didn't show the clock for any of the cars when they did the four-corner break with the leaders and things like that. Who knows? That could have been done purposely. Maybe NASCAR didn't want us to see the pit times since that was the very first televised pit. Hopefully this weekend we get to see the pit times and really get to see the difference there in those times. You know, everyone ran pretty clean. It really was your typical clash race, in my opinion, with the exception of, you know, McMurray spinning out there early on and then the issues with the 48 and 42. Other than that, you know, everyone pretty much behaved themselves, maybe a little too much with the way they ran single file there for a good chunk of stage two. But hey, all in all, we had some cars on the track, and definitely looking forward to the 500 this Sunday and kicking off the season. All right, speaking of the 500, why don't we get to our second interview? Let's talk some trucks. Let's talk some Daytona 500 with Fox's Hermie Sadler. Here we go. All right, Lab Traffic Nation, joining me on the line is veteran NASCAR driver and longtime Fox NASCAR pit reporter Hermie Sadler. Hermie, welcome to the Lab Traffic Podcast.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you having me on. It's so exciting to be this close to another year for Daytona for me. I've been going to, as a kid, going to Daytona since about, you know, 1976, 1977 as a fan, but I've been going to Daytona every year since 1992 in one capacity or the other, you know, working, covering the greatest sport at the you know, most famous track, you know, in NASCAR. So I look forward to it, and I'm anxious to see what happens when cars get on the track.
Oh, I cannot wait. Hermie, how's the off season? Did you get to do anything fun, exciting in the off season?
Yeah, it's been great. I've got a couple of, you know, family time is always important to everybody, especially, you know, to people that have to travel a lot in any profession, such as we do with NASCAR. So I like to take a lot of time with my family. My oldest daughter, Cora, who just recently turned 21, she is a cheerleader at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. So I've been going to watch the Tar Heels play some basketball and watch.
Oh, that's awesome.
Here. And then most NASCAR fans know my middle daughter, Haley, has autism, so I love spending time with her. She teaches me something every day. And then my youngest daughter, Naomi, who is 15, she's involved in high school sports. So I've been going to watch her play a lot of basketball, and she plays travel softball and all those things, too. Not to mention the fact that I am big into the go-kart racing business. We build, manufacture, sell, and race dirt oval go-kart parts and pieces and components. So I've been going to the go-kart track as well. So I've been having a lot of fun.
So Dad's been busy.
Been busy, but it's been a fun busy. I really have a hard time classifying anything that I do as work. You know, the travel part of it is the toughest part, but all the things that I do, once I get where I'm going, I have a lot of fun doing it, and I'll certainly planning on having a lot of fun, you know, in Daytona coming up over the next couple weeks.
Absolutely. That's awesome. All right. So, Hermie, you've got over 330 races between NASCAR's top three series. Can you walk us through a little bit your journey, how you got into racing and your racing career, and then the transition over to broadcasting?
Sure. I mean, I mentioned go-karts. Me and my brother both started racing go-karts, and we were both, you know, 8, 9 years old. I won the World Karting Association championship in 1988. Shortly after that, I started doing some racing, some late model stock car racing on short tracks in my area in Virginia and North Carolina, mainly the South Boston Speedway, Orange County Speedway, ran some late model races at Martinsville Speedway, all those things. And then eventually transitioned over and got some opportunities to run some what were then called Busch Grand National Series races. I got some help early on from some of the best in the business, namely Hall of Famer Jack Ingram. I drove a car for him one time at Hickory. Tommy Ellis, a former Busch Grand National Series champion. I had some help from him and drove a car from him. And then eventually got hired to drive full-time in the Busch Grand National Series in 1993 by a guy named Don Beverly, who owned a car in the series at that time. And then, you know, my career started there, you know, full-time, and went through some of my DeWalt Power Tool years on my own team. And,
sure,
you know, then was back and forth, you know, running some Cup Series races, you know, through the years as well. And one of my best friends that I have now that I met through NASCAR was a guy named Artie Kempner. Artie and I are still best friends. Our bond together was the fact that we both have autistic children. But Artie is the director for NASCAR on Fox. He's been involved since Fox has been in sports. We became friends, you know, through Fox covering NASCAR and me driving in NASCAR. And so Artie reached out to me when he realized that my child had been diagnosed with autism. We formed a bond. He asked me about 15 years ago, one weekend, to go to Kentucky to do television coverage for an Xfinity Series race that was on FX that particular night. He called me out of the blue. I didn't have any training, done no homework, I done any of that. And they had enough faith and trust in me to put the boot that night. And so that kind of, you know, mushroomed into doing some other things and covering some other races and all those things. And 15 years later, I tell people all the time, I cannot believe that with my accent, anybody has ever paid me to do a race podcast. But I've been doing it for about 15 years, and I'm, you know, blessed to be able to do so, and I've had a lot of fun over the years.
Oh, that's an awesome story, and that bond there, that's fantastic that you guys have been able to build that. That's awesome. All right, Hermie, you're a busy guy on and off pit road, as you kind of mentioned here a little bit. NASCAR, you're on the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series setup, along with some other shows on FS1, pit coverage of the truck races. What's race week like for you?
Well, I get there, and, you know, first thing, not just Daytona, but the first final six races of the season, it's a lot about getting yourself acquainted with the teams, you know, the new teams, the new drivers at new places, new sponsors, the new manufacturers, make sure they do the best I can to, you know who's driving what truck, who's working on it. Speaking of the drivers and the sponsors, it's, you know, crew chiefs have moved around, and people are, you know, in different organizations, and it goes even deeper than that for me, being on pit road, because, you know, you've got engineers and you've got tire changers and mechanics and all these people that I know from being, you know, in and around the garage for all these years. I like to know, you know, where my friends are and what they're doing and whose truck they're working on and all that. And then we, you know, from there we get into the, you know, the practice shows, and the practice shows were a great opportunity to further, you know, familiarize myself with, you know, with all the new colors and things, you know, for the year. And, you know, then we roll into qualifying sessions and production meetings, and, you know, it's difficult in our business because the first race of the year for us, in a lot of cases, is the biggest race of the year.
Sure.
So we don't have a whole lot of time, not only for the teams and drivers, but we don't have a whole lot of time from the broadcasting side to quote unquote knock the rust off. We got to go to work, you know, right away and be able to do our best show of the year the first night out. So, but it's just, you know, that changed a lot for me from when I was racing. I get up, you know, in the morning and go to the racetrack, excited to get there and excited to see who's doing what and how everybody's running. And, you know, when you love something like I do racing, and I'm sure you do, and a lot of the fans that listen, you know, to this podcast, you know, it doesn't seem like work. And I think that's what makes it a lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right. So you mentioned the biggest show of the year. So we have the 60th running of the Daytona 500 coming up here very soon on February 18th. But let's talk 2 days before, when the NASCAR Truck Series kicks off at Daytona. I am a diehard truck fan. I know a lot of my listeners are diehard truck and Xfinity Series. I really enjoyed the 2017 Truck Series. Looking forward to 18. You know, one of the things I really liked, the fact that we had three rookies in the Truck Series, and Briscoe, Cindric, and Grala make the playoffs. We had eight rookies finish in the top 15 in the standings, as well as a bunch of young guys like John Hunter and Ben Rhodes get some wins. Hermie, who or what are you excited about in the trucks for 2018?
Well, a couple things you hit on. What really is enjoyable to me about covering the Truck Series is we do have a mix of rookies and veterans. And what makes it even better than it is in most cases in the Xfinity Series and in the Cup Series, a lot of these rookies in the Truck Series are in winning equipment or equipment capable of winning.
Sure.
So they butt heads, they get to butt heads and race side by side with the Johnny Sauters and the Matt Craftons. And we saw several cases during the course of the year last year where, you know, some of these young guns ruffle some of the veterans' feathers a little bit, you know, and that creates, you know, more tension. It creates better excitement on the racetrack. It creates better competition. So when you put all that together, it just gives you a good recipe for a great race. And the other thing I like about the truck racing is, you know, I can sit there and watch the Coca-Cola 600 as good as anybody, but the truck races are shorter. You know, I think they keep people's attention spans longer than maybe some of the other series and those kind of things. So you put together a shorter race with a sense of urgency is greater, and then you put a bunch of veterans out there along with a bunch of rookies that, you know, think they need to win now, because a lot of these rookies, you know, they don't know how long they're going to be in some of these trucks. They've
absolutely
got pressure to produce right now. So you throw all that together and you've got something that could be very exciting.
Makes for some fun racing on the track. Absolutely. Hermie, any off-season truck news that you may have heard that has maybe gotten overshadowed by some Cup news that people should know about?
Well, I think the biggest news that we heard, especially, you know, recently, was the fact that Thorpeport was is switching manufacturers from Toyota over to Ford.
Sure.
So Ford has been in the sport for the last several years with Brad Keselowski Racing, and when, you know, it was announced that Brad was, you know, shutting his truck series team down, it looked like that, you know, we may go to Daytona with no really a competitive team carrying the blue oval.
Sure.
And I was really surprised that ThorSport, you know, made that decision, especially at the time they announced it so close to Daytona. And plus the fact that, you know, Duke and Rhonda Thorson they've been kind of, you know, with Toyota and been very loyal back and forth with Toyota. But I think what they saw, which is probably correct, that, you know, as long as Kyle Busch Motorsports is in the Camping World Truck Series, they're going to be the top priority for Toyota. And I feel like ThorSport probably believes that going to Ford and being the, you know, the top dog carrying the Ford brand and the support and the technology that comes with that gives them a better shot to compete with KPM on a weekly basis. And we'll see how that plays out starting when we get to Daytona.
That's an awesome perspective. I like that. That's awesome. Okay, Hermie, so let's talk Cup here for a few minutes. The Daytona 500 is coming up here very soon on the 18th. Martin Truex Jr. had an amazing year last year, capped it off with a championship win at Homestead, was an inch away from winning the 500 in 2016. Is he able to carry that momentum into 2018, and are there any other Cup stories that you're excited about?
Well, from a personal side, I hope he does, because Martin's a good guy, and you know, what he's been through in his career over the last, you know, 6 or 7 years to land in the ride that he is in with Furniture Row and to kind of take that team to the next level. And he's certainly in his prime. The concern you have is, you know, how is being a one-car team going to affect the dynamic, you know, of that race team? So he, you know, I think they'll hold their own. What you worry about is through the course of a year, you know, if you're at least you're a two-car team, you're getting two sets of data for every practice session, every qualifying session, every race. You know, so I think they'll start out in good shape. You know, my concern is, or what I want to see is, can they keep up and maintain the level of performance when it's only one car on the track, you know, on most weekends? So that's kind of what I look at with that. The other story, of course, you know, first time I've been to Daytona in my life when there wasn't a Earnhardt racing in the Daytona 500, so
that's crazy,
you know, that's
isn't
gonna
it?
Be different. You know, that's going to be different. I think, you know, I'm anxious to see, obviously, what Dale Jr. is able to do on the TV side, but it's just going to be different, you know, being at Daytona and not having Earnhardt, you know, on the racetrack. And I think the other part, obviously, the driver that made some news that I think is really talented, given the right situation, is Eric Almirola. Obviously, he got a lot of, you know, fanfare, you know, kind of taking the seat that Danica had, and I'm really anxious to see what he's able to do, and certainly what Stuart Haas Racing is able to do, you know, in Ford, you know, for another year. And, more importantly than anything else, will Hendrick Motorsports kind of rebound and be able to compete with the Furniture Row Racings, with the Joe Gibbs Racing as far as overall raw speed? It's been a long time since we've seen, you know, Hendrick not be in a position to win more races. So I'm anxious to see how they bounce back.
You know, one of the things that I found interesting was, you know, over the last few years, at the start of each season, it seems to me it takes longer and longer before we get a driver get his second win of the season and then his third win of the season. Things keep kind of spreading out as I think maybe the playing field gets even. You get guys like Martin Truex Jr. who goes out and takes wins away from Hendrick Motorsports and Joe Gibbs Racing. Stuart Haas Racing now has their first full year under their belt with the Blue Oval. They got two wins, you know, probably a down year in terms of the number of wins people thought Kevin Harvick was maybe going to get. Can you comment on that a little bit in terms of the spreading out of the victories in the highest level there with Cup?
Well, I know sometimes guys like Jimmy Johnson, Mark Truex, you know, Jeff Gordon in his day, you know, people run through spells where they make it look easy to win those races, but they are not easy to win. It's very, very difficult. And when you throw in all the variables, not only do you got to have a fast car that's got some adjustability into it, you've also got to have a little racing fortune on the racetrack. You've got to have cautions fall the right way. You've got to get in the right line on restarts, late races. You've got to be mistake-free on pit road. There's so many things that come into play, not to mention the fact that there's more parity in the sport now because of some of the rule changes and the aerodynamic situations that NASCAR's put the teams in. It's more difficult for the top-tier teams, you know, to get that huge of an advantage. So I think we'll see more of that this year. I think you'll see more drivers with more opportunities, you know, to win. I'm not sure we'll see even a season like, you know, Truex had last year where one driver wins seven or eight races. I think the three or four might be a more reasonable number that we see people able to achieve this year, just because there's more parity, there's more rule changes, there's more restrictions on pit road. You know, all these things that everybody has to adjust to.
Sure. All right. Last one for you. We've seen NASCAR come out with some changes, trying to streamline and cut costs for example, like the air guns, pit guns on pit road. There's talk of maybe some budgets put into place. We've seen some struggle with even some of the top guys with sponsorship. How do you think that could potentially impact the sport in terms of maybe regulating a spending cap, if you will, like some of the stick and ball sports have?
Well, I'm going to sound like a wishy-washy answer because I've been on both sides of this as a team owner, and I've been on the other side of it as a driver, you know, looking for sponsorship and all those kind of things. But I think team owners, especially the ones that have resources in place to spend, like Rick Hendrick, like Roger Penske, like Joe Gibbs, sometimes I think NASCAR feels like they have to come in and save these people from themselves. In other words, I think these big-time team owners will do whatever it takes financially to gain an advantage. And I think NASCAR is trying to come in and say, hey, we need to restrict some of these areas you're spending money in because everybody doesn't have those resources to spend. It's going to put money back in your pocket and hopefully level the playing field. Now, I'm all about free enterprise. So I'm like, look, if I'm Rick Hendrick, if I'm Roger Penske, or if I'm Joe Gibbs, or whoever it may be, if I've got $25 million to spend, let me spend it to try to win. But I also see the flip side of it is, for the sport to be healthy, we need 40, 45, even 50 cars eventually showing up to the racetrack trying to qualify to make the races more competitive. And if the line you have to meet is to get the $25 million to spend to be competitive, we're not going to get to that number. So I certainly see what NASCAR is trying to do, and I hope you see some of those dividends start to play out in all divisions of NASCAR in the next couple of years.
Sure. Awesome. Love it. All right, Hermie, tell the listeners where they can follow you if they don't already.
Well, I'm one of the few. The only social media platform I have is Twitter, and it's simple. It's at Hermie Sadler. I don't have Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and all those things. I'm just on Twitter, so people can follow me at Hermie Sadler. Most of the time, if they ask me a question on there, if I see it, I'll certainly, you know, try to answer and get back to the fans. And our NASCAR fans are very interactive on social media, so look forward to hearing from some of them. And hope everybody enjoys Speed Week at Daytona.
Awesome. All right, everyone. The Daytona 500, Sunday, February 18th on Fox. Make sure you tune in and catch Hermie Sadler on Fox Sports 1 for his coverage of the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series on Friday, February 16th from Daytona at 7 p.m. Hermie, thank you so much for taking some time out tonight and coming on the Lap Traffic Podcast.
Oh, man, that was so much fun. Oh, can't thank Hermie enough for calling in, taking some time out, talking some trucks. And the 500, that was a lot of fun. What better way to preview and set up for the 500? All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it's that time to do a little social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like it on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the show on iTunes or Podbean, Stitcher, Spreaker, Google Play, Blueberry, Acast, subscribe, auto-download, leave some comments. Don't forget to check out @DetroitSportsENT on Twitter. If you're craving some Detroit sports and want to know what's going on with the Red Wings, the Pistons, the Lions, the Tigers, Michigan basketball, go Blue, check those guys out. They got a lot of articles, a lot of great content out there. And I am their NASCAR podcast guy, so that's awesome. All right, haven't done it yet, but here we go. Some new shout-outs to some new followers. Over on Facebook, Gary DeVoe from Tucson, Allison Knott from Noonan, Georgia, and Jeremy Crosby, I'm guessing not the hockey player, from Guyton, Georgia. A couple Georgia boys in there. Awesome. Welcome to the show. Over on Twitter, Zane Komenek, I'm sure I pronounced that wrong, @PureVayer2389 from the Detroit area and contributor to Detroit Sports ENT. Michael @CBellFan20 from New York, big Christopher Bell fan, obviously. Rich Eldridge @Nomar2009 from Massachusetts, rooting for the 24, 88, and 42. Welcome to the show, guys. Check it out. Hope you like it. Tell your friends. Don't forget to go bookmark the Amazon portal link on the website, The Lap Traffic Podcast. It'll help support the show. Just make all of your purchases from Amazon through there. That would be awesome. The website's got your t-shirts and hoodies, whatever else you could think of is out there. I've sent out a ton of stickers and koozies to people, which is so incredible. I've gotten a ton of tweets with your favorite beverage, but it's going to be really hard to top Ellen Udy @HARDTBeats with a Z, who sent me a picture of him feeding his daughter with the Lap Traffic koozie holding the baby bottle. I mean, that was the most adorable thing ever. Good luck topping that tweet. Who knows? That might win tweet of the year to me. Been to a race. If you got some koozies, tweet some pictures. I will put those up on the fan portion of the website. If you've sent something, it should be there. Everything's up to date out there. If you got any fan mail, The Lap Traffic Podcast, P.O. Box 725275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072. All right. Let's see what the weather is shaping up for the duels this Thursday and the races this weekend. Back this week from raceweather.net is Aaron Studwell, who you can also follow on Twitter @raceweather, and make sure you check out their website, raceweather.net. Aaron, what's going on?
Not much, sir. Just a foggy day in Houston. How about yourself?
We haven't gotten snow for 2 days, which is nice because we got pummeled this weekend. I don't know. I think Metro Detroit got, I don't know, like 10 inches, 11, something like that. It was the snowblower earned its money back. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's good. You need that investment up there. Down here, we get a half inch of snow and we're shutting down the city.
You know, I almost wish like I lived in an area that was like that, because I'm so used to driving in the snow. Like, I'd be everybody's hero, I think. I could make so much money on Uber down there. It'd be sick on nights like that.
There's your million-dollar idea.
Hey, did you get to take in any of the Michigan-Wisconsin game?
I caught the end of it and felt like the ARCA race.
The never-ending.
Wouldn't end. Oh, my gosh. Michigan won. Happy with a Michigan win.
Yes.
Sending her with my Michigan lanyard. But
very nice.
It wouldn't end.
You know,
and I don't know about this team. They're so up and down, but it seems like there's so many NCAA teams this year that are like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, I think Michigan's got 5 losses. There's a lot of like 7 and 8 loss teams that are potential contenders, you know, once the tournament starts going. I'm bummed, though, that the Ohio State game is...
I see it as inconsistency.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. Yeah, yeah. I'm bummed the Ohio State game's on Sunday, because obviously Daytona's taking precedence, but
yes.
that's a bummer. All right, what'd you think of the clash?
I enjoyed it. I know a lot of people didn't. They kind of played follow the leader towards the end, but you know, you kind of get that mid race, even with the 500. I like the new package. I like the ability to pass and not have to have somebody, you know, push you along the way, although having to pushing, despite asking Jimmy Johnson that, might have a different opinion of that. But I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to really kind of getting into a bigger format at the 500 this weekend. And Bowman, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Bad fast car. Yes, sir. All right, man. Well, what do we have weather-wise for Thursday and this weekend?
You couldn't order up. This is just, you know, what every meteorologist hates to say, but I will. It's Chamber of Commerce weather. You really couldn't dial it up any better.
Nice.
And the high temperatures each day, you're going to see mid-70s some days, low 80s others. A little breezy at times, but a lot of sunshine. Don't see much of a chance for rain in the forecast either.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful. That's like, I feel like there should be angels singing or something like that right now.
Oh, you know, I mean, I don't sound like an angel.
All right, man. Well, everyone, make sure to stay up to date on Twitter with Aaron at Race Weather on Twitter. Website, raceweather.net, and make sure you look for some interaction between Aaron and I throughout the week, especially on Thursday and on the weekend once the races kick in there for any weather updates. Sir, have a great rest of the week. Enjoy the 500, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. I'll be enjoying the duels, the Nextera, the Power Shares, and the Daytona 500. This is going to be a full weekend of racing.
Awesome.
No weekend of radar, and just going to enjoy it.
I love it, man. All right, we'll talk to you.
Talk soon.
See ya. All right. That is the weather for this weekend. It sounds like it's going to be absolutely beautiful for Daytona, which is awesome. All right, what do you guys say? We fire up the Wave Around hotline. Let's get to your phone calls, your lucky dog picks, your lap down picks from the clash. The official Wave Around hotline number is 248-965-9538. 248-965-9538. So make sure you store that bad boy. All right. Let's get this thing rolling. Let's get some calls. Lap Traffic Podcast, who's this?
It's Brian from Lakefield, Ontario, Canada. How are you, Brandon?
Westy, what's up, brother?
Just hanging out in the cold and snow.
Awesome. Tell me about that, man. I feel you on the cold and the snow. We got annihilated this weekend.
Yeah, we did too.
Oh. All right, man, what'd you think of the clash?
It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Good clean race, and the cars were shaking and moving all over. So 40 of them on the racetrack is going to be fun come Sunday.
It's definitely going to be a little interesting, that's for sure.
All right. Well, who's your lucky dog?
Well, now that the 88 is kind of officially retired, but not really, I'm kind of throwing up my numbers this year. I'm not sure. I like MTJ, so I think I'll throw my hope behind Martin again this year.
All right. And who's your lap down from the weekend?
Lap down, yeah, I hate saying it, but I don't think 20 year usually brings a bullet, but I don't think Danica's going to fare very well.
Nice, nice, nice. All right, man. Well, you make sure to call back. Again, the phone line will be open each and every week.
All right, my friend. I'm going to pull a dark horse, so you know who I'm going to pick. Our good friend from good old London, Ontario, DJ Kennington.
Hell yeah, man. I know you are. All right,
you
man.
Betcha. He starts, 17th in the duel, second duel. So we're pulling for him. Everybody up here is hoping he's going to have a good day.
Absolutely. All right, man. Enjoy the 500. Call back soon, all right?
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. You too. See ya. How awesome was that? Brian West, first caller on the Lap Traffic Podcast and longtime supporter. Awesome that he was able to get through first. We got another call coming in. Let's get in right now. Lap Traffic, who's this?
Andrew Kitchen, what's up, man?
What's up? Wait, all right, hold on. How do you pronounce that one more time, nice and slow?
That is Kitchen. It's not as hard as people make it out to be, like yourself, but that's okay.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you got through. Thanks for calling, brother.
No problem.
All right, what'd you think of the race this weekend?
Well, I thought the Clash, it started off pretty good. The skew is, I don't know what to think about the skew. I really don't care. Honestly, though, I feel like the leader has less of an advantage with the new package, which is encouraging. Why they ran single file for 30 laps, I'll never understand.
Well, you know, half a field at Daytona with as wide as that track is in this thing, you know, it's definitely going to make things interesting once we get all 40 cars out there.
Oh, for sure. I think, you know, the 500 is going to be a pretty good one. Some new rules and stuff. My question is, I wonder how the new gear, I mean, they ran a 360 gear in the Clash. I wonder what it's going to be like with a 350 in the 500 in the duel. So I think that's going to be something definitely to watch out for.
Yeah. You know, like you said, we'll get a taste of it on the duels and, it'll give a little extra there and, you know. Hopefully they're comfortable using it because the cars were moving around on the track a lot. So we might see a few extra big ones, I'm thinking.
Yeah, let's hope we don't because I don't watch it for crashes. I'm not one of those fans.
Hey, I'm with you 100% there. All right, man, who's your lucky dog from the weekend?
Well, lucky dog, I got to say, people are going to hate when I say this, but it's got to be ARCA's green-white checker policy. I know they tore up millions of dollars of equipment, but I don't fix them, so honestly, I don't care.
I love it.
I think that's the way it should be.
Right?
That's the way it should be. It should end under green no matter what.
I don't disagree. And who's your lap down? Yes, lap down.
My lap down is Leilani Mooner, and why she's even on the track, I have no idea.
Nice, man.
I'm shocked she didn't cause more accidents.
I love it. All right, brother, thanks for calling in. Enjoy the 500 this weekend. Make sure you call back again, all right?
You too, brother. Take care.
All right, we'll see you. Lap Traffic, who's this?
Hey, this is Jeff Leck, Brandon, calling in with my lucky dog and lap down pick.
Jeff, what's up? A Michigander calling in got through. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
Oh, all right, man. What'd you think of the Clash real quick?
I thought the Clash was really good. It's typical Daytona. You know, this thing just kind of don't go a whole lot of anything until towards the end when everybody starts getting kind of some action. I think the curious thing was what's going on with these Chevys? Are they going to be able to buck draft, come Thursday and Sunday? That's a big question.
Well, Elliott looked good early on, and we all know Bowman's got a fast car, so we'll see what they can put together, eh?
Yep.
All right.
Them Fords sure look good.
Oh, yes, they did. Our friend just a little while north in Rochester, he's definitely going to be making his name known on Sunday.
Yep.
All right. Who's your lucky dog?
Well, my lucky dog is actually from the ARCA race, and it's little Natalie Decker, which I never heard of her before until you guys had her on Lap Traffic. And started paying attention, and boom, her first full-time ride, her first full-time Daytona start to take the pole, manages to avoid a huge wreck and then gets in one, but still brings home a busted-up car to a fifth-place finish. That's pretty damn good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can't disagree there. And who's your lap down?
Lap down, it's actually not a person. It's what I call the Jimmy Johnson Clash Crash Curse.
That's a tongue twister there.
Yeah. He just can't catch a break when it comes to the clash. You know, he can just be by himself and something will happen.
Absolutely. You know, he went a stretch there too at the 500 where it didn't seem like he could finish a race there either. So. Yeah, he definitely gets a little hit or miss. All right, man. Well, you enjoy the race this weekend, and make sure you call back sometime, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks, man. See you.
Bye-bye.
Lap traffic, who's this?
It's Chloe from Yunker Motorsports.
Chloe from Yunker Motorsports. What's going on?
Not much.
How
just
are you?
Got done doing some homework. So.
Oh, boo to that. Boo to homework. For everyone that does not follow Chloe, make sure. Chloe, what's your Twitter?
Just Chloe Yunker. Chloe with a K, though.
There you go. And make sure you're following her dad, Brad Yunker, at B Yunker, and the Yunker Motorsports handle at Yunker Motor SPTS, I think it is, Chloe.
I believe so. That's, don't mark me on that.
All right. Well, at Yunker Motorsports, search them. You'll find them. Awesome people over there. Chloe, what'd you think of the race this weekend?
Obviously, I was happy. Got two Team Penske's in the front. Always going to be happy about that.
How, you've had to be coming out of your skin there a little bit with Joey getting up there.
Oh, yeah. Managed to work his way up. I'm just glad he didn't get in the wreck, obviously.
Right. So is it safe to assume that Joey Logano is your lucky dog of the race weekend?
Oh, yeah.
As one goes off in the background there?
Yeah, there's dog. I have to give another one to Noah Gregson for his comment because I actually thought it was funny. So that's where my second one's going to go.
Nice. And who's your lap down?
I'm going to say the whole record itself because, I mean, I'm a Kyle Larson fan, but I just don't think.
Maybe a little aggressive.
Necessary. I know he didn't do it on purpose, but.
Right. Awesome. All right, Chloe. Well, maybe we might see you this weekend, I think. I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know. Maybe everyone should stay tuned to Twitter on that and see what happens there, maybe. I'm not sure.
Maybe, I guess.
Maybe.
I guess we'll have to see.
I guess so. All right.
Don't be a surprise.
Chloe, thanks for calling, and you make sure you call back, all right?
No problem.
All right. See you.
Anytime.
All right. Well, let's get to some responses for those that didn't get through on the Wave Around hotline. Kathleen at KHI Fans, Lucky Dog is the number two. Even though it was an exhibition race, a W is a W. Lap down, all those chick bleeps who were afraid to get out of line during the race. I might agree with you. Jeffrey Whitler at Southern underscore Wit, Lucky Dog Fans. We finally got to see some cars on the track. Lap down. How many fans got to see the new five-man stop and any differences between teams? We only know the fastest stop exceeded 16 seconds. I agree. They should have done a little bit better job with that there, my man. Linda at RacingGal underscore FL's Lucky Dog is the 42 for the incredible save early in the race. His dirt track experience paid off. Lap down NASCAR for the bad call on the Stenhouse penalty. I agree. And Larry at LBLEE58's Lucky Dog. Cars racing on the track. Lap down, follow the leader style racing. I agree with that one too. All right, you guys are probably chomping at the bit for mine, I'm sure. Mine are a little boring, to be honest with you. My lucky dog is Bad Brad. Really dominated the second half of the clash and made a strong statement for Sunday. My lap down is NASCAR for penalty on the 17 car. I really think that might come back to haunt them this Sunday with the way they made that call. All right. Big thanks to everyone that called in. Brian, Andrew, Jeff, and Chloe. Great talking with you all. Hope everyone likes this part of the show. If you didn't get through this week, make sure you continue to tweet your picks so I can read them out. Number's not going to change. 248-965-9538 is the Wave Around hotline number. The time might vary slightly weekly depending on interviews and things of that nature. So make sure you're following on Twitter on Tuesday nights for the cue to call. And I'll tweet out when the line is open. All right. Next matter of business.
Everyone is registered for the league. We've got 61 players in season two of the Lap Traffic Podcast Fantasy League. That's so awesome. All right. If you're registered, you should have gotten an email kind of reconfirming the rules and all that kind of stuff. Don't forget to submit your picks by this Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check the website for standing updates Monday or early Tuesday morning. And that can only mean one thing. It's time for the picks. This week, we head to Daytona for the 60th running of the Daytona 500. We'll hit speeds of plus 200 miles an hour, banking of 31 degrees in the turns. Ricky Stenhouse has shown he likes plate racing, winning at Talladega and the Summer Daytona race last season. Will he see victory lane? Brad Keselowski won here in July in 2016, and he's coming off his win at the Clash this past Sunday. Does he get his first Daytona 500 win? What about series champ Martin Truex Jr.? Can he keep the momentum going from his win at Homestead and get the checkered flag? Or is it a newcomer like Bowman who sits on the pole? We'll find out this Sunday. But right now, my picks for this weekend, the Truck Series. I am going with Mr. Matt Crafton in the number 88. My Xfinity pick, Daniel Hemric in the number 21. And for the Cup Race for the Daytona 500, I am homering out and taking the number 4 of Kevin Harvick to get his second Daytona 500 win and back-to-back Daytona 500 wins for Stuart Haas Racing. Those are my picks. Don't forget to send yours in if you're playing in the league. Now, I'm not going to do odds every week like I did last season, but this is the Daytona 500, so I think it's appropriate to see where Vegas has the odds for the 500 and the favorite little pre-season championship odds. All right, on to the Daytona 500. The Clash winner, Brad Keselowski, odds on favorite right now at plus 700. Chase Elliott at plus 800. My pick, Kevin Harvick, plus 1,000. So too is Kyle Busch, plus 1,000. Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano, plus 1,200. Jimmy Johnson is plus 1,600. Larson, Truex, and Stenhouse are all three plus 1,600, according to the Vegas odds makers. All right, that's the top 10 for the 500, according to Las Vegas. Over to the preseason championship picks, as determined by Las Vegas. Currently, the odds-on favorite to win the Cup Championship this season is Kyle Busch at plus 400. Truex, defending champion, is also at plus 400. Larson might be a surprise coming in right now, second at plus 600. Harvick at plus 650. Chase Elliott is plus 750. That could be a good bet right there, folks. Jimmy Johnson is plus 1,000. Keselowski and Logano, the Penske boys, plus 1,200. Hamlin is plus 1,400. And Eric Jones wraps out the top 10 preseason championship odds at plus 2,200. All right, we'll see how those shape out as we move along throughout the season. All right. That is going to wrap it up for episode 56 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. This was a fun one. I hope you guys enjoy it. Man, I can't wait for this season. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like it on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Don't forget to submit your fantasy picks. Big thanks to Rick Brenner and Hermie Sadler for calling in. Thanks to Aaron for the weather report. And thanks to all the listeners that called in to the Wave Around Hotline. Go sign up, play in DraftKings free $10,000 contest. Use promo code LAP. Next week, I am working on a really, really big guest. Hopefully, going to be able to wrap that one up. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lat Traffic Podcast. Enjoy the 500 this weekend. See ya!